Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Psalm 147. Praise the Lord! For it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds us Jerusalem. He gathers the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his commands to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down the crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them and makes the wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and just decrees to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his just decrees. Praise the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. The reading from the epistle for this evening from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, his second letter, in chapter 4, St. Paul writes this. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is the word of the Lord. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you again for your word of hope and promise to us. Sustain us in that, dear Father. Help us always to look to you and your gifts to us to sustain us in this world that pulls and pushes us. Bless us now in the preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you need encouragement? Every hand goes up. We all do. We all need encouragement on a good day to be reminded that the things that we're doing are noticed. The things that we're doing are good and pleasing. A pat on the back goes a long way to help us feel good and to continue on. But how about in a bad day? How about when you hear once again all of the things in this world that are going on that continue to change the world around us? The uncertainty of everything that seems our future, in our future. Especially in those days do we need encouragement. Everywhere we turn, it seems like right now, everywhere we turn for information, we seem to hear bad and then worse. And then the next day, bad again and worse, as my grandpa would say, worser as dat even. As we continue to go through this. Everywhere we turn, it seems like everything is bad. The COVID numbers are on the rise. Any event where people gather with any amount of people at all is condemned and looked at as something that is against the public health. And that leaves us separated and alone and trying to figure out what's true and what isn't. We watch the news and the two biggest political parties are throwing mud at each other and honestly behaving like two spoiled little children looking for someone to give them a treat for what they're doing. And then when we do look for information to make sense out of this crazy world, we find information that changes daily, sometimes hourly. And then the plans you made have to be replanned and remade, and then they change and the whole process starts over again. There is uncertainty, there is unsureness, all of these things in the world around us. But Paul does not leave us out. Paul gives us, right here, tonight, encouragement through his word. We know where all of these problems of the world leave us. We know it very well, frazzled, frustrated, and frightened. And Paul speaks to that tonight. Do you want to hear some good news? Some really good news? Jesus loves you. And I don't mean that lightly. I don't mean that as something you say to someone when you don't know what else to say. The reality is that Jesus loves you more than almost everything else. Loves you enough that he would give up all of the glory and the riches of heaven and take on the form of a little baby that had to be helped and fed and nourished and cleaned, that he would give up everything in this world, including any kind of sense of earthly security, to go to his death to give you peace and to give you hope and to give you promise. In the midst of everything that goes on in our world, everything that takes away our security, we have the absolute security in Jesus and his love for you. We say it many times, Jesus loves you. But sometimes we forget the depth of what that really means for us and the hope and the promise that that gives to us. The other good news just flows out of that statement, Jesus loves you. The other statement of good news is you're forgiven. All the things you struggle with, all the things you worry about, all the times that we have torn down and beaten up the eighth commandment and everyone in authority because they can't make a decision and stick with it, you're forgiven by Christ's death on the cross. this mess that we are personally and as a community in a state and a country and a world, Paul reminds us tonight this is only a momentary affliction. It will end, and you will survive. What you are going through now cannot change what God has said about you. What the world does and all of the things that change often in our world does not change God's pronouncement to you. It does not change your baptism, and it does not change Jesus' death on the cross for you. In the midst of everything changing in our world, the message of the church is always the same. Jesus loves you. You're forgiven. You have peace and hope because Jesus has died and risen and lives today for you, for your forgiveness. Everyone needs that encouragement. Everyone needs that encouragement, including the church. And that's where St. Paul is writing his second letter to the church in Corinth. There's always been an incredible amount of pressure against the church to change. That's not new. We've seen it in Paul's day. It continues on even today. St. Paul encourages the church in Corinth by writing them this letter. And he says this. He writes to the church and he says, "We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word." You see, there is incredible pressure in the world today for the church to change. The church needs encouragement so it doesn't wander from where Christ has set it up to be, to stand on the very truth of God's word. St. Paul writes again in this section for today, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. For those who look from the outside without faith, or maybe a strange faith, they look at the church, they believe that the world outside should shape and form the church. That the culture of the world we live in should shape and form the church to give a message that's palatable for the world. The church has to change to be relevant. I had a young man say to me, "Pastor, unless you change the way you preach, you're never going to get anyone under 40 to come to church." It's pressure against the church because the world thinks that we have to do it this way. The church has to change if it's going to be useful. It is looked at by so many as outdated and without understanding. The church has to change if it's going to be heard. You see, the world around us pushes hard to change the church. I received this in the mail this week, and I've been looking into it a little bit. It's called Transforming South Dakota, and it's a movement to make the church more aware of all the transsexual stuff that's going on in the state of South Dakota. And in the back, when it talks about the author, it says this. This young man is the author of Transforming, the Bible and the Lives of Transgender Christians. You see the pressure? The pressure from the world outside of us saying that the church has to change, that we have to change the church to accept the culture. Those are the pressures that the church is under. And the church needs encouragement, and that's why St. Paul writes what he does. As we gather tonight, and as we have stood on this for forever, we remember that the church is based on God's word. And God's word is true, just as true as the statement, "Jesus loves you." Jesus himself tells us that the word is true, and the word of God is truth, not a truth. Not a truth that you can choose to believe or not, and then it doesn't become true anymore. God's word is truth. It is the word of God that shapes us, and in turn, living that word of God, we shape the world and the culture around us. Encouraged! That's why Paul writes this, and that's why we take great joy in Paul's message. Everything in the midst, even in the midst of everything that's going on, we still have hope. Even in the midst of all of the criticisms against us and against the church, we hear Paul's words, We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. You see, the world without faith doesn't understand the gifts of God because it looks so ordinary. How can a pastor or just a man or a woman stand up if they are preaching God's word? How can they preach that and it be effective? It looks so ordinary. How can the pastor stand up in front and pronounce to you that all of your sins are forgiven? It looks so ordinary and it looks like it has no power. How can water applied to the head of a child or an adult with the word of God give them faith and give them salvation? How can simple bread and wine be the very body and blood of Jesus and give you forgiveness of sins? It looks so ordinary. But this ordinary gift that God gives to us in this world brings peace and hope and promise. I heard a story when we were in Hong Kong one time of a young boy, and his job was to water the flowers for the family. And as he's doing this, he has a yoke across his neck, and then down from the yoke hang two clay pots. And he would walk with the clay pots down to the river and fill them and then walk back to water the flowers at home. He went in one day and he complained to his mom and dad, "I've been doing this for so long. Don't you realize that these pots that I'm carrying are cracked?" And they said they knew they were. And the young boy kept on doing this, kept on walking back and forth. And every time he'd get to the yard, there was just a little bit of water in each pot. So he had to make many trips every day to water the flowers in the yard. And finally, one day he was frustrated at that, frustrated because it seemed like nothing was happening. And then his mom took him out and said, "I knew those pots were cracked." And she took him out on the path all the way down to the river. And she planted seeds all the way along the path. And every day when he would put that yoke on and carry those vases back, the water would dribble out of those and water the flowers. And all the way along the path, and including the flowers in the yard, were these beautiful flowers that were blossoming. He couldn't see it because he was focused on the problem. It looked so ordinary. But in the midst of that, in the midst of his continuing to be faithful to his task, God provided a wonderful thing. The struggles that we have, all of us, that you're struggling with, Paul reminds us are light and momentary afflictions compared with the glory that will be revealed to us either when our Savior comes again to this earth or when we go home to meet him. When we're in the midst of struggles, they don't look light and they don't look momentary. But Paul reminds us we have a far greater gift than just the things of this world. You have a home and a Savior waiting for you. You have a renewal and a reunion with all of the family members who have died in faith that are now with Christ. We have a hope and promise that one day when Christ comes here or we go home to meet him, that all of the things that we struggle with now are gone, over with. They have been conquered by Christ our Savior. Paul writes, "So, because of these things, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. If we base our peace only on the hope of these things that are seen in our world, our hope will seem lost. But if we base our hope on the encouragement and on the things unseen, on the truth of God's word, on the life, the death, the burial, the descent into hell, the resurrection of Jesus on the third day, his ascension and his promises to you, now our hope is real. Our hope will carry us on. Our hope in Jesus' love for you is eternal and it gives us peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.